Well, good morning. If you could find your seats. If you turn to Matthew chapter 7. Again, that's Matthew chapter 7. We will be in verse 15 this morning, if you would stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Let's pray. Father, Lord, God, we lift up this passage this morning, Lord, as we continue in the sermon preached by Jesus, Lord. I pray that you would give us a discerning heart, Lord, as we are bombarded, Lord, with all types of teachings on the internet, Lord, throughout different churches that we visit, Lord, through podcasts, through books that we read, Lord, that we would discern true biblical teaching, Lord, from false teaching. God, the warnings in Scripture are clear, and I pray, Lord, that we heed these warnings, Lord, this morning as we look at this passage. In your son's name we pray. Amen. We are getting closer to the end of Jesus' sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe two or three more sermons, and we will be on to Matthew chapter 8. Today we're going to be looking at Matthew 7, 15 through 29, the two trees. And as I've pointed out before, Matthew 7, 13 through 27 is the conclusion to Jesus' sermon. And Jesus ends his sermon with four warnings. And he gives these warnings in sets of two. Two gates, two trees, two claims, and finally, two builders. Now, I've already pointed out this fact, but what I haven't pointed out is that all four warnings, these sets of two, all four warnings are connected, meaning there's a flow and logic to Jesus's sermon, to the conclusion of his sermon, and I want to show you that. So if you remember last week, we talked about the two gates, the wide gate and the narrow gate, and I said that there are only two types of people in the world, those who enter by the wide gate and those who enter by the narrow gate. Therefore, Jesus tells his audience, he commands them in verse 13, enter by the narrow gate. That's the application of Jesus' sermon. Jesus' whole sermon has led to this one command, enter by the narrow gate. And here's the reason. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Now, when I preached on verse 13 a few weeks ago, I gave three reasons why the gate to destruction is wide and those who find it are many. Let me just remind you of those three reasons. First, man is evil, born spiritually dead, with a sin nature. Ephesians 2 verse 3 says that before salvation, we were by nature, this is our nature, by nature, children of wrath like the rest of mankind, destined for destruction. The second reason why the wide gate and many find it is that it's easy. The way to destruction is easy, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And finally, the third I pointed out is that it's popular and those who enter by it are many. So three reasons, man is evil, the way is easy, and it's popular. Now, I spent time examining or explaining all three of those reasons, but there's actually a fourth reason that I think is one of the main reasons that I didn't mention because I was saving it for our passage this morning, and here it is. Many will enter by the wide gate that leads to destruction because there are many false teachers leading them that way. Therefore, Jesus warns the crowd in our passage this morning, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Meaning Matthew 7, 15 through 20 is connected to the previous verse. There's a flow, there's a logic. The two gates leads to the two trees. Again, there's a flow to Jesus' sermon. Two gates, two trees, two claims, two builders. Now, with that in mind, today we're going to be looking at the second warning, the two trees. And I have 3 points to the sermon this morning. The warning, the watch, and the wrath. They all start with W. I don't do that very often, but it worked out today. The warning, the watch, and the wrath. So let's start with that first point, the warning. Look at verse 15. It says this, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." The word beware in Greek is prosecho. It means beware, pay attention, give heed to, or be concerned about. It's obviously a word of warning, and Jesus is warning his disciples, beware, be warned, be watchful, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Now, false prophets in the immediate context is clearly referring to the scribes and Pharisees. It's who Jesus has been addressing throughout his sermon, the scribes and the Pharisees. He's been confronting their false religion. In fact, Jesus continues to confront the Pharisees throughout the book of Matthew. It's a major theme that we see in Matthew, Jesus' confrontation with the Pharisees. One example is Matthew 23, verse 15, where Jesus says this, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte. And when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child as hell of hell as yourself." I mean, Jesus doesn't pull any punches. He uses strong words to describe these false prophets, these false teachers, the scribes and Pharisees. In other words, the scribes and Pharisees think they are doing God's work. They think they are doing God's work. And to be honest, I think they truly believed they were doing God's work. But they were actually leading people down the path of destruction, leading people to the wide gate, making people twice the children of hell, what Jesus says. Therefore, in our passage, Jesus calls the Pharisees false prophets, false prophets. Now, you need to remember that Jesus is a Jew and he's preaching to a Jewish audience, meaning there's a context to his audience, which is the Old Testament. And Jesus knows this, therefore he's building off this context to warn his disciples about the Pharisees, calling them false prophets, which immediately would have made his audience, Jewish audience, think of the false prophets in the Old Testament. So if you would, keep a bookmarker in Matthew chapter 7, we'll be back, but turn with me to Deuteronomy 13. Now there's so many places we can go to in the Old Testament. Talking about false prophets, they're found throughout the Old Testament, but this is one of the first warnings we see about false prophets from Moses to the people of Israel just before they enter into the promised land. Look at verse 1, Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. It says this, "If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and he says, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them.'" Verse 3, "You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Moses is saying, even if a prophet comes performing miracles or predicting miraculous events, if he leads you away from God, do not follow him. He is a false prophet. Verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he taught rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of slavery to make you leave the way. There's that word, the way. Leave the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk, so you shall purge the evil from your midst. Meaning in the Old Testament, Israel was commanded to put to death false prophets because they were leading Israel away from God down the path of destruction through the wide gates. False prophets, false teachers are dangerous. They're dangerous. And throughout the Old Testament, we see the warning from God, this warning from Deuteronomy come to pass, false prophets leading God's people away from God, acting like they were doing God's work, yet being used by Satan to lead people away from God. And listen, there are many examples of this in the Old Testament. Let me just give you one. Jeremiah 6:14 says this, "They have healed the wounds of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." The leaders of Israel, in other words, the prophets and the priests, were proclaiming falsely, the false prophecy, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Judgment is coming. Often throughout the Old Testament, prophets, I could show you example of example, would preach peace, peace, when there is no peace, because that's what the people wanted to hear. They didn't want to hear about judgment. Meaning false prophets were leading Israel away from the truth that judgment was coming. And because false prophets were leading Israel away from the truth, they were also leading Israel away from God, because God is truth. This is the context of the Old Testament. Now turn back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. With all that context, Jesus warns his audience in verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Now, it's important to understand that the Pharisees were not prophets, meaning they were not claiming to have direct revelation from God, yet Jesus equates them to false prophets from the Old Testament. In fact, look at what he calls them. He calls them ravenous wolves, wild animals. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing." Instead of claiming to have direct revelation from God, the scribes and Pharisees use God's word, his revelation of the Old Testament, to teach false teachings. In other words, they twisted God's word to teach their false religion. They were false teachers who taught a works-based salvation, legalism. As we saw in Matthew 5, they even lowered the standard of God's law to justify their own self-righteousness. They twisted scripture to justify their righteousness and heap burdens on God's people without any teaching of grace. It was false teaching. Therefore, Jesus calls them ravenous wolves, vicious, dangerous, wild animals. And he doesn't stop there. Again, in Matthew 22, he calls them blind guides who make proselytes twice as much sons of hell. Because just like the false prophets of the Old Testament, they were leading people through the wide gate down the path of destruction. And they were doing it with their false teaching. Therefore, Jesus warns his disciples, "Beware of false prophets." I just want to be clear, false teaching and false prophets, they're dangerous. It's dangerous. Therefore, Jesus warns his disciples. Again, he doesn't pull any punches. He's straightforward. It should be sobering at some level. In Matthew, he calls them false teachers, ravenous wolves, blind guides, who make people twice the sons of hell. Throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see this warning over and over and over again about false teaching. But listen, it's not just the Gospels. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, I want you to hear what Paul says to the elders in Ephesus. In Paul's mind, this is probably the last time he's going to speak to them before death or at least imprisonment. He doesn't know if he's going to be able to say anything else to them the rest of his life, so he's giving them instruction. Look at verse 29. This is what he tells these elders of a church that he loved so much. Acts 20, verse 29 says this, "And I know that after my departure, fierce wolves," where do you think he gets that from? Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. "Fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. From among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things," from within the church, men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Paul is warning the church. He says, fierce wolves will come. False teachers will come. Turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Look at verse 17. This is Paul once again writing to a church that he's not sure if he will have a chance to meet face to face. He ends by saying this in this epistle, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Just like the false prophets in the Old Testament, false teachers preach flattery. They proclaim peace, peace, when there is no peace. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. Verse 13, it says this, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." Wolves in sheep's clothing. Keep going, turn to Ephesians. 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 4. Verse 14. It says, "So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes." In other words, false teachers and false teaching are cunning, crafty, deceitful. Keep going. The next book, Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 2, Philippians 3. Verse 2. Paul says, "Look out, beware, warning. Look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh." Paul here is referring to the Judaizers, again, false teachers. Look at the next book, Colossians 2, verse 8. says this, verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive, that's war language, and no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. It says this, now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, do not be quickly shaken in your mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Verse 3, let no one deceive you in any way. Turn to the next book, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. False teaching. There's demons, there's spirits behind the false teachings that go out. It's the warfare that Satan uses. Turn to the next book, 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 3. Paul says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Turn to the next book. Titus chapter 1, verse 10. It says this, for there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. Turn to 2 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teaching among you. This will happen. Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Pay attention to that word, secretly. It will not be obvious. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, leading people down the path of destruction through the wide gate. Keep going. Turn to 1 John, the next book, chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, John loves this audience. He loves his people. He loves this church. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Turn to one last book, 2 John, verse 7. It says this, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Listen, it's just a taste. I took out so many passages before I got here. of all the warnings in the New Testament against false teaching. In fact, every single book in the New Testament besides one, Philemon, which is a short letter, addresses false teaching at some level, and many extensively. We see warning after warning after warning about false teaching. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, James, and Jude, every author of the New Testament warns us at some place, at some level, about false teaching. Now listen, here's why I spend so much time showing you all of this. From my experience of being a Christian, and especially of being a pastor, I don't think the average Christian heeds these warnings. False teaching is not something the average Christian is worried about. In fact, I hear Christians say all the time things like this: Well, I've read the book. I know my Bible well. I didn't see anything wrong with it. Or if there was something off, I would notice in that podcast, sermon, or book, and so on. Listen, I'm guessing Eve had a similar thought in the garden. Proverbs 16:14 says this: pride goes before destruction and haughty spirit before a fall. These warnings in Scripture about false teaching are everywhere, and they are not empty warnings. God knows we are easily deceived, and He knows that Satan is crafty. Fighting a cold, sorry. 2 Corinthians 11 tells us that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, like he's on our team. He's a servant of God, and so does his followers. In other words, false teaching is not always easily spotted. That's why Jesus warns us that false prophets wear sheep's clothes. John tells us in 1 John 4, verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." We are to test every spirit, every teaching, every prophecy, every claim, every book, every podcast, every sermon with the Word of God to see whether that teaching is from God or not. For again, these are not empty warnings. We should be on guard always for false teaching and false teachers. Now turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Here's the warning from Jesus himself: "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Again, false prophets are not always easily spotted. They disguise themselves as sheep, just like Satan, who disguises himself as an angel of light. False teachers are crafty. Therefore, Jesus gives us a way to spot them. And this brings me to my next point this morning. We have the warning, but then we also have the watch. What to watch out for. How to recognize a wolf in sheep's clothing. Look at verse 16. "You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit." Again, we see the set of two here, two trees, a healthy tree and a diseased tree, a false teacher and a faithful teacher. Now, it's important to understand the analogies. Right? Trees are often most often, I would say, spotted or identified by their fruit. In fact, when I moved to Golden Hills, I had a number of fruit trees on my property, and I had no idea what they were until they started producing fruit. And I know so little, it took a while for the fruit to get big before I knew what it was. That's a peach tree, that's an apricot tree, that's a cherry tree, and so on. Verse 16, you'll recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. In other words, a false teacher may look like a sheep. It may look like a faithful pastor or priest or prophet or a biblical teacher. But you'll be able to tell by their fruit. Therefore, the question becomes, what fruit? What does bad fruit look like? Well, I can think of two things, two rotten fruit that's produced by false teachers. The first is the fruit of their life. And the second is the fruit of their teaching. So let's look at both of these, the fruit of their life. Martin Lloyd-Jones writes this: the man who really believes in the holiness of God and who knows his sinfulness and the blackness of his own heart, the man who believes in the judgment of God and the possibility of hell and torment, the man who really believes that he himself is so vile and helpless that nothing but the coming of the Son of God from heaven to earth and his going to the bitter shame and agony and cruelty of the cross could ever save him and reconcile him to God, this man is going to show all that in his whole personality. He is a man who's bound to give an impression of meekness. He is bound to be humble. Therefore, the first sign that a person is a false teacher is just a lack of humility and meekness. Humility and meekness. Remember the Pharisee and the tax collector. The false teachers that Jesus has in mind here are the scribes and Pharisees. Remember the Pharisee and tax collector in Luke chapter 18, the Pharisee prayed to God, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I tithe all that I get." Obvious pride. But the tax collector, who understood who he was, understood how holy God was, would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus said, "I tell you, that man, rather than the other, went home justified before God, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Listen, false teachers are proud. And although they may be able to put on an act for a time of humility, it is a false humility, and their pride will come out. It will reveal their unrepented heart. Now, let me compare this to a true disciple of Jesus. Bad fruit or bad tree, a good tree, a healthy tree, a diseased tree. What does a healthy tree look like? Well, you can start by the qualifications of an elder. Titus 1 verse 6 says, "If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, for an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it." It's not perfect, but he's characterized by these things. And by the way, me just stop here and say something so I can get this clear again. I think Satan will do all that he can to deceive us and just hit me about halfway through the sermon. I'm just preaching the next verse. Daniel's characterized by all these things. I just want to be clear. This has nothing to do with him. And not just that, the qualifications of an elder, but also you can look at the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn over their sins. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You can also look at the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now again, no man is perfect. But a godly teacher should be characterized by these things. Therefore, you should ask, does this teacher live as though he has been truly regenerated by God? He has a new nature. He has a spirit living within him. Or is he a hypocrite? Is he putting on an act? A wolf in sheep's clothing? Verse 16, Jesus says, you'll recognize them by their fruits. You'll recognize them by their fruits. But there's a second type of fruit. It's not just their life. But it's also their teaching because, and this is so important, one's life affects one's teaching. Luke 6, 45 says this, the good person out of the good treasures of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasures produce evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. The Bible is clear, the heart and the mouth are intimately connected. It's why there's such strong warnings about people being teachers. And trust me, I feel the weight of this as I'm preaching it. What comes out of the mouth is the overflow of the heart. Therefore, false teaching often comes from the wicked desires of the heart to be wealthy or to be liked. That's probably the biggest one, to be liked, man-pleasing. It affects the teaching. Or maybe just pride. Whatever it is, the mouth reveals the heart. Turn to 2 Timothy 4 again. This is just so important. I want you to see it. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 3 says this, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. I think that time is here. The Greek word endure means put up with or tolerate. People will not tolerate sound teaching, but having itchy ears, they accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They'll find teachers, in other words, that will teach what they want to hear. People will not want to hear truth and sound doctrine, so they'll find teachers that teach something other than that, that make them feel good, to make them happy, to warm their hearts, to justify their sins. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Therefore, verse 4, will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Remember Jeremiah 6:14, false teachers preached peace, peace, when there is no peace. They did that because people wanted to hear peace, not judgment. Listen, people today don't want to hear about God's judgment. They quickly get labeled a hellfire and brimstone pastor if you say anything about wrath. They just want to hear about God's love, his acceptance, his tolerance. So they find teachers who preach peace, peace. But here's the problem. There is no peace if you are not in Christ. Judgment is coming. Therefore, what people really need to hear is not flattery or smooth talking or a light-hearted TED talk. What they need is the truth. And just a side note, it's one of the reasons I love expositional preaching or just verse-by-verse preaching. Inevitably, you're going to preach on a verse that's hard to hear. That happened last week. It's going to happen next week, Lord willing. A verse or passage that rubs up against the sin nature, the flesh that still haunts us. That makes us uncomfortable. You know, in fact, I'm going to take this a step further. I believe every passage of Scripture, there should be something that irritates the flesh that still haunts us. Something that makes us say, ouch. Something that feels uncomfortable, that convicts us. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That means every single verse in Scripture. Meaning if someone claims to be teaching or preaching God's word and you're not convicted or challenged, he's probably not truly teaching God's word. Think about it. If this is truly from God, and if we are truly as sinful as this says, then every passage, every verse should make our flesh feel uncomfortable at some level. This might sound weird to you, but every verse, as I'm studying, if I don't find that thing that kind of irks me, I keep studying because I'm missing it. Therefore, you can tell a false teacher by their fruit. Does he teach, does he preach peace, peace when there is no peace? Is he a man pleaser? Is he teaching something men want to hear? Or is he just tickling people's ears? Or is he boldly proclaiming the word of God accurately and faithfully? In Matthew 7:16 says, you will recognize them by their fruits, the fruit of their life and the fruit of their teaching. This brings me to my last point, the wrath. You have the warning, you have the watch, what to watch out for, and really the conclusion, the wrath. Verse 19 says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. This really brings us back to where we started this morning in Matthew 7, verse 13. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. False teachers are just leading the way. They are leading people through this gate, down this road, by proclaiming peace, peace, when there is no peace. Listen, I want to be clear. Judgment is coming. If we trust in Jesus, it's your only hope. There's only one way to the Father. There's only one way to escape the flames of hell. By trusting in Jesus, his life, his perfect life, 100% righteous, his death on the cross, his payment for your sins, and his resurrection as proof that he paid the price. Trust in him, because everyone who has not trusted in Jesus, everyone that dies outside of Christ, will be condemned. Second death, eternity in hell. Don't follow false teachers down the path of destruction. False philosophies that say you're okay. Verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. So, 3 points today: the warning, the watch, and the wrath. Remember, pride goes before the fall. Don't assume you are immune to false teaching. The Bible is full of warnings. We need to be on guard. Humble yourself, seek sound doctrine. Find faithful teachers and preachers who are proclaiming God's word faithfully, accurately, boldly, and in love. Heed Jesus' warning. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Let's pray. Father, we pray for your protection here at Country Oaks, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we would hear these warnings and that we would be on guard, Lord, that the elders, the teachers in Sunday school, the small group leaders, Lord, the deacons, the ministry leaders, Lord, the staff, and all of us would be on guard, testing the spirits to your word, testing teachings to your word. Humbly realizing that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, trying to deceive us, Lord. God, I pray that our heart be open to your truth, Lord. God, through the Spirit, protect us. And may we glorify you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.